Title: Groove Relationship Between Pads and Drums Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced drum and bass session in Ableton Live, and we're zooming in on something that separates pretty sound design from actual records. The drums don't groove alone. In DNB, the pad or the Atmos layer is often what sells the pocket. If your drums are rolling and swung, but your pad is dead quantized and floating like a wallpaper, the groove feels split, like two different songs stacked on top of each other. So today, we're building a practical, repeatable workflow to make pads groove with drums without turning your chords into a wobbly mess. We're going to use three big levers: micro timing, envelope and volume movement, and sidechain that follows the actual shuffle, not just the kick. By the end, you'll have a 16-bar rolling loop, a classic two-step drum groove, a wide pad that feels like it's breathing with the kit, and an A and B section where the pad changes its relationship to the drums in a way that feels pro and intentional. Let's set up the session first. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176. I'll sit at 174 to keep it classic. Create a drum group with separate tracks for kick, snare, hats, and percussion or ghost notes. Then add a pad track, and optionally a return track for pad effects like reverb or delay. And quick practical note: if you're going to use any devices with look ahead later, or heavy processing that introduces latency, go into options and make sure delay compensation is on. It saves you from chasing timing problems that aren't actually musical problems. Now step 1. Build a drum groove with a signature. The pad can't lock to a groove that doesn't exist, so we need a drum pattern that actually has identity. Start with the backbone. Program a two-step kick. A common starting point is a kick on the first beat, and another somewhere around the end area later in the bar, like around 1.3.3. Then put your snare on 2 and 4. In Ableton terms, that's 1.2 and 1.4. Keep kick and snare relatively stable. In DNB, they're the pillars. The groove usually lives around them, not inside them. Now add groove carriers, closed hats in a 1/16 pattern, and then ghost snares, rim shots, little perks around the main snare hits to create that forward pull. This is where the roller starts rolling. Next, open the groove pool. Pick something like Swing 16 or an MPC 16 swing, and don't slam it at 100%. Start gently. For hats and ghost perks, try timing around 30-55%. Add a tiny bit of random, like 2-8% max, and velocity around 10-25% on hats and ghosts only. You want life, not chaos. Then, apply this groove to your hats and ghost tracks. Keep kick and snare either not grooved or very lightly grooved. If your kick starts swinging too much, your entire track can feel drunk. We're going for rolling, not stumbling. Teacher tip here: consolidate your drum MIDI once it feels good, and name that clip groove reference. Think of it like your blueprint. You can reuse that feel across the whole project. Now step 2, decide the pad's role. Before you touch a note, decide what relationship the pad should have to the drums. There are three main modes. Follow: the pad inherits the drum swing subtly. Rate for rollers. Contrast: the pad stays straighter while the drums swing. This can be perfect if the pad is just a wash and the drums are super busy. Anchor: the pad is stable, long notes, but the groove is created by volume and envelope movement instead of timing. Great for dark, minimal DNB. For this lesson, we'll use a hybrid, follow plus anchor. That means the core harmony stays confident and stable, but the audible moments of the pad still breathe with the drum pocket. And here's a mindset upgrade: stop thinking in grids, start thinking in reference transients. Pick one or two things that define the groove, like your hat swing and the snare plus its ghosts. Your pad doesn't need to copy every micro move, it just needs to align its audible moments, like the pad's attack peak, a little stab, a filter pluck, or the sidechain dip, to those reference transients. Step 3. Make a pad that can actually groove. If your pad has a super slow attack and a massive release and it's just a cloud, it might sound beautiful, but it won't speak rhythmically. At 174 BPM, you need at least some definition. Load wave-eatable. Set OSC1 to a saw or a richer wave-eatable, and OSC2 to something smoother like a sine or triangle. Lower in the mix. Put a low-pass filter on, like an LP24, and set the cutoff somewhere between 400 Hz and 1.5 kHz, depending on how dark you want it. Add a bit of drive, maybe 2-6. Now the amp envelope. Set the attack around 10-35 milliseconds. Enough to avoid clicks but still respond. Decay around 1-2.5 seconds. Sustain pulled down a bit, like -6 to -12 dB. Release around 1.5 to 4 seconds. Add slow motion with an LFO to the filter cutoff. Very slow, like 0.05 to 0.15 HE, small amount. This is mood movement, not rhythmic wobble. Then add chorus ensemble, slow rate, wide width, and a moderate amount. Now do the cleanup chain. EQ8 with a high pass around 120 to 250 HC to stay out of the bass and kick. Add a little saturator if you want it to speak soft sign or analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Put your reverb ideally on a return, and use utility to control width. You can go wide, like 120 to 160%, but you must check mono later. Step 4. Get the pad to follow the drum groove with timing and velocity, but carefully. Take your pad MIDI clip and apply the same groove you used on hats. But here's the key. Use much less. Try timing at 10 to 25%, velocity at 0 to 10%, random 0 to 5%. The pad does not need to bounce like a hat pattern. We're aiming for subtle coupling, and I recommend you don't commit the groove yet. Keep it adjustable while you're still finding the relationship. Now, manual micro shifts. This is the fun part. Pads often work best as long notes plus short push notes. So keep your long chord notes mostly on grid. That's your anchor. Then add a short pad stab right before the snare hits, like a little inhale. Move that stab slightly early, around 8 to 15 milliseconds before the grid. This creates anticipation. The pad isn't competing with the snare. It's making space for it by leaning into it. And if you want an even bigger lever, use track delay. In Ableton, you can nudge the whole pad track a few milliseconds. If the pad feels late and lazy, try negative track delay like minus 5 to minus 20 milliseconds. If it's stepping on the snare transient and smearing the impact, try a small positive delay like plus 5 milliseconds so the snare owns the front edge. This is one of those tiny number, huge result moves. Don't be afraid to slash be it. Now step 5. Make groove audible with sidechain that matches the drums. Even if your timing is right, the pad can still mask the rhythm. So we're going to carve the groove into the pad's volume, and we're going to do it in a way that follows the actual roller pattern. First, classic sidechain compression. Add a compressor on the pad. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your drum group, or you can choose a specific drum bus. Start with a ratio between 3:1 and 6:1. Attack around 3 to 15 milliseconds. If it's too fast, you dull the pad. If it's too slow, the duck happens late and feels sloppy. Release around 60 to 180 milliseconds and tune it to the tempo. Set threshold, so you're seeing about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on the kicks. More if you want obvious pumping, less if you want it classy and hidden. And use the sidechain EQ. If the kick is dominating too much, high pass the sidechain around 120 Hz so the compressor isn't reacting like crazy to sub-energy. More, and this is a big one for DNB, focus the sidechain detection more around snare body, so the pad breathes around snare hits. Now the advanced trick. Don't sidechain only to kick. In rollers, the groove is often hats and ghosts, so build a dedicated groove trigger. Create a new MIDI track called a C-Trig. Put operator on it. Make a tiny click. Attack at 0, decay 30 to 80 milliseconds. No sustain. Release 10 to 30 milliseconds. The goal is a short transient that triggers dynamics cleanly. Program a pattern that mirrors your hat's swing and ghost placements. Not the whole drum loop, just the stuff that defines the role. Mute the track or set it so it doesn't actually hit the master, but keep it routing so it still exists for sidechain input. Now set your pad compressor's sidechain input to SE-Trig. Now the pad pumps to the groove pattern, not just the downbeats. This is where the whole track suddenly sounds like it's glued together. And here's an extra coach move. Use negative space as groove glue. Try making the pad dip slightly 30 to 80 milliseconds before the snare, not on it. That makes the snare feel like it arrives into a pocket of air. You can do that with an early trigger note in SE-Trig, or automation, or a gate. But that pre-snare carve is serious magic in fast DNB. Step 6. Add perceived groove without making the pad busy. Two tools. Autopan and gate. Autopan first. Put it after chorus and reverb. Or try before, depending on whether you want the motion in the dry pad or in the wet space. Turn on sync, set amount around 10 to 30%. Rate at 1/8 or 1/16. Phase around 0 to 60 degrees so it doesn't just hard swing stare though. Use sine for smooth movement, or saw if you want it more rhythmic. Keep it subtle. The goal isn't to make the pad do a trick. The goal is to make it feel alive in time with the drums. Now gate. This is super clean for rhythm. Put a gate on the pad. Enable sidechain and set the input to SE-Trig, or even hats if that's your groove anchor. Set threshold so it opens reliably. Attack 1 to 10 ms. Hold 10 to 40 ms. Release 60 to 200 ms. What this does is turn one sustained texture into something that feels like it's speaking in the same language as your drums. And because it's keyed by your groove trigger, it stays consistent and intentional. Bonus advanced move. Try delaying your pad reverb return separately from the dry pad. Your pad can feel tight and controlled, while the reverb blooms slightly late, which is extremely pro in fast music. It keeps punch but still feels wide and cinematic. Step 7. Arrange an A and B groove relationship, like a real track. Duplicate your 8-bar pad clip so you have two versions across 16 bars. In this section, bars 1 to 8, make it anchor mode, more sustained, less groove applied, like 10 to 15% timing, sidechain mostly kick and snare. Let the reverb tail be a bit longer. In the B section, bars 9 to 16, make it follow mode, add short stabs before snares, maybe also an offbeat accent if it suits your harmony. Increase groove timing to 20 to 30%. Twitch sidechain input to SE trig so the pad pumps with hats and ghosts. And reduce reverb decay slightly so the rhythm reads clearer. If you want to make this performable, put the pad in an instrument rack and map a few macros, one for sidechain threshold, one for auto pan amount, one for reverb decay, and one for filter cutoff. Now you can play the groove relationship rather than constantly clicking around devices. Before we wrap, let's nail the common mistakes so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Pad fully quantized, drums swung. That's the split groove problem. Mistake 2. Committing too much groove to the pad so the chords feel drunk. Remember, separate pad timing from pad motion. Keep harmony stable. Create groove with dips, gating, filter motion, and reverb control. Mistake 3. Sidechain only to kick in a busy roller. The pad ignores the shuffle. Use SE trig. Mistake 4. Pads too wide and too wet, and you lose rhythmic definition. If the groove disappears, reduce width, shorten tails, and make the movement more about amplitude than stereo tricks. Mistake 5. No high pass on pad. Low mids build up and your snare body and ghosts vanish. Now do this quick practice exercise. Set a 174 BPM drum loop with swung hats and ghosts. This audio version is shortened for playback.